Good morning, all of you folks out there on internet land, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good all the time. And we also know that through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given us three commands: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all may know Him, that we may love one another and receive the salvation of our souls through the message of hope, which is the cross of Calvary and the sacrificial Lamb of Jesus Christ. So today, as we come into our time of teaching and preaching, I just want to welcome you all, and I need to ask you a question. How many of you here have ever had anyone test your patience? Yes, did they pass or fail? Yeah, that's the question, right? And it's amazing because the Lord laid this on my heart. The series that I've been doing is actually, it's a series of strengthening the church, okay? And there are many times in life, and I'm going to say this as a pastor, where my patience get tested. One of them is when I'm driving my vehicle and I have to deal with all those other people out there on the road. I would just be as fine if it were only me on the road. Can I get an amen, church? Yeah. And I'm sure those other people that are driving with me are feeling the same way about me at times. And I have to understand that. But I also look at life, and I think that there are so many times that life tests our patience. Because we're not in control of it, right? There's so much that happens that we are not in control of. And how many of you think, well, I got this plan and it's working pretty well. And then all of a sudden life happens and tests our patience. Well, I'm going to be looking at a little bit of that, because right now we live in a day and a time where we don't know what tomorrow brings. And so much more so. I mean, I think we're awake to it more now than we have been for a long time, because we see governments doing things and organizations doing things, and we're wondering, why are they doing that? That seems so wrong. And we just get tested and tested and tested. And I want you to ask the question, how many of us test God's patience? And the answer to that is going to be far more than we really realize. But I also want you to understand God's perspective on that, and just what that brings to us, and the hope that I pray that it brings to you. So turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to be in the book of Judges. We're going to be in chapter 6 in the book of Judges. And we're going to read from the Word of God from verse 11 through verse 40. Yes, it's a big portion, but I'm telling a story. I'm allowing the Bible to recount history that we may see what is going on at this very specific time. Because when we are dealing with looking at where God has us, it's understanding who we are in comparison, okay? From verse 11, and this is about Gideon. We all know this story, or at least most of us do. And he's one of the first judges. And in the 6th chapter and the 11th verse, we read these words. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us, and where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour, and he put meat in a basket and broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abarites. Now on the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him, and because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah, which was beside it, was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal, to say that let Baal contend against him, because he had torn down his altar. Then the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abarizzites were called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they were also called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I will know that you have delivered Israel through me as you have spoken. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew and from the fleece a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not let your anger burn against me that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground. God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. Now we know the rest of that story, and if you don't, I encourage you to read it. It's a wonderful piece of history. It's not just a story, it's a piece of true history. Because Gideon went on and he had all these men there, 20,000 men, and he dwindled it down to 300 by the order of God, because he didn't want Israel to have credit for what was about to take place. And then those 300 men who suffered not one loss defeated all those kings and all the lands there around, because God was with them. Did God get upset at Gideon asking to have a sign twice? God did not become impatient with Gideon. Gideon was not testing God's patience. We need to understand that there's a portion in the scripture, and it gets so misconstrued by the church because there's different teachings coming out about this stuff. And we know ourselves that Jesus said that we are not to test God, right? We all know it. When did it happen? We're going to look at that here in just a little bit. But I contend with you that we, when we ask God to show us if it's Him, that we are really there with Him, that He is the one bringing this, that God is not having His patience tested. God knows we're weak. He created us. We don't need to fear when you're out here and the things are falling apart and you're wondering, Lord, is that, should I be doing that? And you asking 4, 5, 6 times, and you know He's answered you, but you need to ask that once more. It's okay. It's okay. God loves you. He wants the conversation. He wants you to be secure in who you are. Do you realize that's what Gideon was doing here? He was getting ready to do something that he knew he couldn't do. What did God call him? What did the angel of God call Gideon when we first read this? How did he introduce Gideon? You know, what was the first thing he said about him? Yeah. Hello, valiant warrior. What was he doing? He was threshing wheat on a wine press floor. In other words, he was in hiding, hand pressing, you know, hand screening this wheat. He was in hiding. Valiant warrior, right? Yeah, he's in hiding. He was anything but a valiant warrior. They were outnumbered atrociously. How many of us feel like the circumstances of life overwhelm us? I want you to understand, God's not overwhelmed by any of this stuff. None of it overwhelms Him. He is the God who created it all. He holds it together with but a mere thought. I don't know about you, but I need all kinds of people in my life to hold my life together. If it weren't for my wife, can you imagine what my house would look like? If it weren't for my auto technician, I can only imagine how well my vehicles would be running right now. You know, Jim, hush. Don't tell on me. But isn't that the way life is? We all need help everywhere around. And God knows that we need reassurance from Him. How many of us wanted reassurance from our parents to know that we're okay and that what we're doing is all right? Even though we came at them, you know, think about it. Well, I can handle this. No, you can't. You know, you're really going to. You don't know everything. Well, guess what? Mom and Dad knew a whole lot more sometimes than we thought they did. Can I get an amen, church? Well, guess who knows a whole lot more? Our Father in Heaven. And it so amazes me because we need to turn to Him. And I want you to understand something. Gideon saw something very special, didn't he? It's like, well, yeah, but, you know, Gideon, he gave that offering and it was licked up in heaven and, you know, the fire took it and all that. You know, God never did anything like that to me. Oh, yes, He did. Each and every one of you has had a miracle in your life and you need to understand it's real and it's very personal. Because just as God accepted Gideon's offering of meat and bread, and you all know what I mean when I do this, God gave us the offering of meat and bread, the table of the Lord. And it is acceptable to Him because He raised Jesus up from the dead. Can I get an amen? And that's one sacrifice for all time. And there is no more sacrifice for sin. You and I need to understand who had the better offering. We did. We have. So yes, you have had that meeting with Christ. If you are walking in salvation, you have seen, you have known in your spirit a better offering. And that offering is completely and totally acceptable unto God. And you need to claim it for yourselves that, yes, I'm walking in an anointing just as Gideon was walking in an anointing. And it was okay for him to be a weak and weary man and say, God, I'm sorry. I know I was talking to you, but I just want reassurance because I'm just a man. And I need to know that you're right there with me and you're going to go before me because this thing's bigger than me and it's going to destroy me if I walk into it without you. Can you get the point? And God said, yes. And God's going to say yes to you and I every time. But we need to watch out for the evil one because the evil one wants to lie to us. The evil one wants to defeat us before we even get started. Because if you question God, you don't know him. Wrong. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in the fourth chapter. Now keep a finger there in Gideon because we're coming back to Gideon because I need to reiterate some other stuff there. Matthew chapter 4. As soon as I get there, I'm going to flip back. We're only going to be in a couple verses. This is in chapter 4. I went a whole page too far. We're going to be in verses 5 through 7. Please pardon me while I get a drink. All that singing this morning dried me out. Verses 5 through 7. Now, I got to set this up just a little bit. We need to understand that this is Jesus during the time of temptation, after he had been baptized. He went out into the wilderness. He was out there for 40 days and 40 nights without any food, and Satan came to tempt him, right? And this is the second temptation from verses 5 through 7. It says, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now there are so many times in our Christian faith where we get that scripture and it's like, oh, but well, then Gideon was wrong for doing what he did because he put God to the test. No, he didn't. What Satan here is doing is taking Psalm 91 out of context. Psalm 91 is a psalm of steadfastness. It is a psalm of walking with the Lord. And if you are walking with the Lord, you are in the Word, you are doing what the Word has explained to you to do. So therefore, when it says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone, what he's talking about is you're not going to do something stupid on your own. You're going to be walking in the way and the will of the Lord. And when you are walking in the way and the will of the Lord, you have the protection of the Word all around you. Do you understand that? That means I have everything right now. I am doing everything God wants me to do right now. What Satan is telling him to do, okay, here we are. We're standing on the temple. I want you to throw yourself down. That is causing harm to yourself. That's not walking in God's will. That's not what God intended for him to do. God intended him to go to the cross. So you need to be on the right path. The evil one knew that if he could get him to step outside of God's will, now I've got you. And what did Jesus say? Jesus spoke very clearly. You're not to put God to the test. In other words, don't try to pull God outside of his word because he will let you fail. He will let you fail. Because you are not in his word. Do you know that's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Thank you, elders. Thank you, thank you, because it was like, man, that's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't say that name. Because they stepped outside of God's will. They were lying. They were being deceitful. And in that, they tested the spirit and died. And you and I need to understand, that's what Satan is all about. He is here to lie, kill, and destroy. That's it. And he will twist the scriptures. But as you and I understand him, and we understand his love, God is the most patient God in all of the universe, because he's the only God of the universe, the true God. There are a bunch of small g gods because they're demonic. And we need to understand that. And they are going to come against us, and they're going to lie to us. And that's also why the scriptures tell us that we are to test the spirits. You and I need to test every spirit that comes against us in this world. Now, is God a spirit? Yes, he is. So why would he tell us to test the spirits if we're not supposed to look to him and say, Lord, is this you or am I imagining this? Because what's the greatest thing that's going to affect you in your life? Your own mind. And God knows our minds are broken, doesn't he? God knows our minds are confounded with sin. So therefore, he needs to get that clear message through to us. That's why we need to keep close accounts with him, because he says, my sheep know my voice. So if you're not keeping a close account with him, you're not going to know when it's him and when it isn't. And remember, angels have power. And they can do things in this world. And Satan is a fallen angel. You know, I think it's funny. How do we depict Satan in pictures? Yeah, how do we depict Satan in pictures? He's this red thing with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, right? We all know that's Satan. That's what he looks like. No. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. What would you do if you were Gideon? Now, of course, Gideon didn't realize, I don't think, at first, that he was dealing with the angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? That's Jesus Christ. That's a theophany. That is an appearance of Christ before the incarnation. Well, he had no idea who he was looking at or what he was looking at. How could he know whether this was God or if this was some demonic thing? How could he know? You know, because right here his father is worshiping who? Baal and Asherah. So he's in a land that's divided against itself. How many of us are confused about where we are in this world? What is of God and what isn't? Because this church says this is okay and that church says that's okay. What does the Bible say is okay? And if you're not in a church that follows this thing, you're not in the church. I hate to say that, but we all know it to be true. Here was Gideon in the midst of his father's house who wasn't following the Lord, but was literally worshiping to false gods. And God comes down and says, valiant warrior, you're going to go fight for me. How was this guy supposed to react? He did everything you and I are going to do the rest of our lives. We're going to question. And it's okay. You're not testing God's patience. God loves you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be sure of where you are and what's happening and what's going on. He wants to strengthen you. When you have that assurance, okay, I want you all to think about this. And we're all grown up now, right? We're all grown up. We're big adults. You know, we got our big boy britches on. I want you to think back when you were in Pampers. When you were kids. We can all do that, right? For some of you, it's not quite so long ago. How many of us wanted our mom and dad just to reassure us that it was okay? That it'll be all right. At some point in our lives, we just needed that assurance. Now I want to talk to you grandparents out there. How many of you have walked in and there's your grandchildren, and you just walk up to them and they're standing on the couch, standing on the arm of the couch, and you're like, what are you doing? And you're just walking up to them because you want them to get down, and the next thing you know, they're in the air coming at you. It's like, talk about total trust. They know you're going to catch them. Am I right? That's the God I serve. What Gideon's doing there is he's stepping out on that limb and he's saying, Dad, if it's really you, you're going to catch me. And he's jumping. And what did God do? God caught him. Not just once, twice. Because Gideon needed that reassurance. I need that reassurance. You need that reassurance. Don't be afraid to ask him, is this right? Am I supposed to do this? Is this is where you want me to walk? He is going to confirm himself to you. He loves you and he wants to be there for you so you're there with him when you need him. Because otherwise you're lost. When Satan was after Jesus, where was Jesus? Jesus was right there in the midst of Satan, but the heart of God was right there and he was not going to leave it. And that's where you and I find ourselves. We are in the midst of Satan's kingdom right now. But we are the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And as we walk in victory. For he rose up from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we are waiting for the day when the bride in Christ shall be called up into heaven. And then at the end we shall come and we will be in his train. And he will wreck all of evil for all of time. And until that day, you and I have to walk this, we have to trod this walk on this earth. And in that, may we be found seeking him out. May we be found testing his patience as the world may look upon things. But in the eyes of God, you're seeking him at every opportunity. And that's what he wants for you in your life now, tomorrow, and the next day. Don't ever stop talking to him. Don't ever stop going to him. Because God here, turn back in your Bibles to the book of Judges. God here in this episode from 36 through 40, God was honored to bring to him the truth of what was going on. God showed him. He says, and Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel, do this. And it happened. Now I want you to look at verse 39. Look at verse 39. And Gideon said to God, what's he say to him? This is so important. Please read this. Do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more. Was he doing what he was doing in arrogance, or was he doing what he was doing in a pleading heart? Was he doing what he was doing, searching for that holiness of God, searching for that hope of God, because he wanted to be right, because he was getting ready to lead a whole bunch of people into certain death if it wasn't? Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, if we don't know that we are walking with God, we are headed into certain death, because that certain death is we are doing something in the misnomer of Satan, and that is hell itself. Can I get an amen out of the reality choir here? This is what I'm talking about. The evil one wants to destroy you. But if our heart, look where Gideon's heart was. Oh, Father, don't be angry with me one more time. Here we go again. Let me try your patience. No. No. We cannot try the patience of an eternal God. He's already heard all your arguments. He's already seen all your arguments. He's already settled all your arguments, and he's waiting for you to get to the other side. So let us go through it. And let us remember that he is right here for us, with us, and we should not be afraid. God loves us. He wants us to succeed, and he wants us to understand that we are weak, but he will provide. Hence the songs today. He is our way maker. He is our promise keeper. He is the one who moves the mountains. And when we submit ourselves to Him, when we call upon Him, He will answer. And He will show Himself to be God. You don't have any reason to be afraid of this world or to fear what's out there. You know, I'm looking here, and you all know Bob and Eva are looking to sell their house, right? Guess what? It's already sold. We just don't know who bought it yet. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. It's that clear. You and I simply have to walk this trod or walk this sod to get to the point where these things happen. And along the way, it's okay, Bob, to say, okay, Lord, when? And 3 days from now, okay, Lord, when? And 2 days from that, okay, Lord, when? And when it happens, you better be doing what? Praise you, God, you knew just when. Life is meant to be lived, not feared. Life is meant to be engaged with a God who wants to be part of your everyday. Do not be afraid to ask Him to show you how to walk it more than once, more than twice, because He's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is His word. But please remember, walk in the word. Don't twist it. Don't turn it upside down. Don't ignore it. Walk in the word. Because when you walk according to the word, nothing under heaven or earth can stand against you. For we are in the eternal strength of the Lord our God, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we do come before You because many times we feel as though we're testing Your patience just by walking this sod. But Lord, may we remember that You knew all these things. You've known them. You've prepared the way for them. And may we simply not fear You as to be afraid of You, but to revere You and call upon You because You have the answers. Lord, so much of our lives right now seems to be upside down with wars in Ukraine and wars in Israel and all the things that it can mean. But Lord God, we are not to fear, for the victory is already ours in Christ Jesus. May we simply turn to You and seek Your face, no matter how many times we have to do so, for in doing so, we're actually touching Your heart that You may touch ours. And change us and change our world. For that is the hope of the gospel, the salvation of our souls. In Jesus' holy name. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.